This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Inshallah ta'ala, as promised, tonight's talk, lecture, is a reflection over the story of a remarkable woman mentioned in the Quran and her family. This family that we're going to talk about is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named a whole chapter of the Quran after them. And there's a lot that we can learn about this family. And this is the third surah in the Quran, Surah Al Imran. And Al Imran means the family of Imran. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pick one family out of the thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of families that ever existed and name a whole chapter after them, we have to ask ourselves what makes them so special. And this family, when we say Al Imran, who are we talking about? We're talking about a man and his wife and their daughter and their grandson. A man, and his name was Imran. His wife, whose story is told in the Quran, but Allah just calls her Imra'atu Imran, the wife of Imran. But according to other sources, we know that her name was Hannah. If you look at the Christian traditions, they call her Anne, or Saint Anne, Hannah. And Imran and Hannah were married, and eventually they have a daughter. And that daughter ended up being the greatest woman to have ever walked this earth, Maryam. So now you can tell me who their grandson is. Who's their grandson? Prophet Isa. Because Prophet Isa has a lineage, I guess, through his mother's side. His mother Maryam and her and their and then Imran and Hannah. So that's Al Imran. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa Al Ibrahim wa Al Imran ala al alamin. Allah mentions that some people that He chose. Inna Allah astafa Adam. Allah chose Adam. Wa Nuhan. Allah chose Nuh. وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Allah chose Ibrahim and his family and lineage. وآل عمران and the family of عمران على العالمين above everyone else. They were very special. And when Allah chooses people, it's because they are deserving of that choice. They are the most pious, the most devout. Allah immediately speaks about the wife of Imran. And she is almost the main character that you learn about. Of course, it ends up becoming more about her daughter Maryam and her son Prophet Isa. But the mother of Maryam, Hanna, very special woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us a conversation that she has with Allah. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about an incident that happens between the mother of Maryam and Allah, where they are speaking. And you see a conversation. Maryam speaks to Allah often. Not Maryam, Afan. Hannah, the mother of Maryam, speaks to Allah often. Now, when we tend to talk about Allah, we tend to talk about making dua to Allah. Each one of us here has made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, grant me Jannah. Oh Allah, grant me health. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. We make dua. But what you find here is, Maryam is not making, I keep saying Maryam, Ummu Maryam, the mother of Maryam, is not necessarily just only making dua. She's talking to Allah. And that's something that a lot of us miss sometimes. Are you the kind of person that speaks to Allah? And you're like, Shaykh Bawdu, do you mean speak to Allah? Do you mean read the Quran? Do you mean pray? No, I mean speak to Allah. Look, she says, إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمَ. She's saying to Allah, oh Allah, if I get pregnant, and if I can give you the backstory, they were trying to conceive for a very long time. If there's anyone that is struggling to conceive and has been married for a long time, you'll find in the Quran many great people that also struggle to conceive. You'll find Prophet Ibrahim and his wife struggling to conceive until Allah gives them the glad tiding with Ishaq. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقٍ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقِ يَعْقُوبٍ. So after a very long time, Allah blesses them with Ishaq. You find Zakaria struggling to have a child, and we'll mention this later. You have now the mother of Imran, the mother of Maryam and Imran, they were struggling to have a child. And some of the traditions mention that there were many stillbirths miscarriages. Yes, miscarriages. So there is this worry. And this teaches you something immediately, which is that if you are struggling, if you have a miscarriage, if you're struggling to have a child, or any other number of calamities, one of the biggest lessons we learn from the Quran when we read the stories of the people that came before us, the righteous people that came before us and they struggled, is that struggling in life does not mean Allah does not love you. Because the people Allah loves the most struggle in life. If you're going through marriage problems, if you're going through health problems, if you're going through financial problems, it's never an indication that Allah does not love you. Rather, it could be an indication that Allah does love you. Because Allah tests those who He loves the most. And that's such a beautiful thing to know. So now, some of the riwayat, they mentioned that one day she saw a bird feeding its young. And she looked at it and she wishes she had that, which is natural. A woman would love to have a child. And this inspired her to make dua. And you'll find a theme here of inspiration to make dua and to speak to Allah. So she is inspired to ask Allah when she sees a bird feeding its young, that she wishes she could also nurture someone. So she asks Allah. And when she's asking Allah, she's already pregnant, she doesn't know. And her husband passes away, Imran passes away. A few things I should mention about Imran. Imran was not a prophet, but he was a scholar. And he was among the people that were leading the call to Islam and was in charge of Baytul Maqdis. So he was an important figure. And around that time, you also have Prophet Zakaria, who was alive at that time as well. And there's a relationship between Zakaria and Imran, because Zakaria will have a son called Yahya, and Zakaria was married to the sister of Hannah. So Hannah's older sister is the wife of who? Prophet Zakaria. So when eventually Prophet Zakaria has Yahya, what are Yahya and Isa to each other? Jazakumullahu khair. And the Prophet said so. Last night I was doing the Seerah class. And for those of you that don't know, we run regular classes throughout the week. Every Monday there's an Aqidah class. Every Wednesday there is a Fiqh class. And every Friday there's a Seerah class, which I highly encourage all of you to attend if you're not already. I do see a lot of faces that are regulars. So we mentioned that the Prophet, during the night journey, he meets Prophet Yahya and Prophet Isa, and they're together. And one of the riwayat mentioned that he said, I met the two cousins. So we'll talk about Zakaria later. Let's go back to the mother of Maryam. She's pregnant, and then she makes a promise to Allah. She makes a promise to Allah. Oh Allah, I pledge to you that whatever is in my womb will be in service of you always. And this concept of inni nadartu, I vow, laka, to you, O Allah, ma fi batni, what's in my womb, muharrara, will be devoted to you and to the service and to worship and to Baytul Maqdis. Now, there's a question here. Can a mother make that pledge to say, O Allah, the child that will be born to me will be in service of your ibadah, and that's it? In other words, it will not pursue any worldly matters and will be devoted to the masjid, to worship. The ulama say in the previous times, this was a right that the parents had. They could do. They could just pick one of their children and pledge it to Baytul Maqdis. But now, if you have a child, and also we don't have that concept of someone that has just pledged just to be in the masjid and to worship. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as much as you commit yourself to the da'wah and to the masjid and to worship, you also have worldly responsibilities that you devote yourself to as well, and we balance the two. But back then you had people that would just solely be there to worship and to preach and to learn. Does that make sense? So she's making that vow. And she's saying to Allah, oh Allah, whatever is in my womb is going to be dedicated to you. And back then, this type of dedication was only for men. For men. Men would do this, not women. Then she's pregnant. What happens? And then she says, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ سَمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. She mentioned this. She says, رَبِّي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّةِ. Oh Allah, I have pledged what's in my womb for you and to be in service and in worship for you. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. Oh Allah, accept this from me. So, this is a dua, O Allah, accept this for me. Why, O Allah? إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ. Indeed, you are the all-hearing. Al-Alim, the all-knowing. And this is very important, the wording Allah uses, Sami' and Alim. We'll circle back to these names. Then what happens? Allah mentions that she gave birth. And then, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْ. When she gave birth, she says, رَبِّي إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. O Allah, I gave birth to a female. To a woman, to a girl. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. And Allah knows best what she gave birth to. Allah is the creator. Then she says, walaysa dhakru kal untha. Oh Allah, the boy is not like the girl. Wa inni samaytuha Maryam. Oh Allah, I named her Maryam. Is this a dua or is she just telling Allah something? What do you guys think? Is she making dua or is she telling Allah? She's saying, Ya Allah, I named her Maryam. Ya Allah, it's a girl, not a boy. Ya Allah, she's having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'd imagine that's the kind of conversation you would have with someone. But this is really important. It teaches us something. My brothers and my sisters, Allah hears you. Speak to Allah. And get into the habit of speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you not have troubles and struggles? Do you not have wishes and dreams? Ya Allah, you know me and I have been struggling with this. Ya Allah, I would like this. Ya Allah, this happened today. And speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah constantly tells us, He is Sami'un, He hears you. Utilize this and learn this from the mother of Maryam. Allah is showing us how comfortable she was to converse with her Lord. And wallahi, sometimes when we distance ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel almost like a void that you can easily fill by coming back to Allah. After salah, when you wake up, at night, when you're alone in your car, whatever it is and whenever it is. And sometimes we complicate it when it comes to our communication with our Creator. We complicate it. I remember one time, and I think I've told the story before, I took a group for Umrah, and there was this Bulgarian woman with us. MashaAllah, she was so dedicated, very dedicated, and she was insisting on, she was quite old as well, but she was insisting on not using any support or anything like that. And she had a stack of papers with her, and in it were transliterations of du'as. She has so many of them with her. And then when she's making tawaf, she's doing this, and she's struggling, and she has to stand and check. And I told her, get rid of these papers. But she said, but these du'as, like, no. Allah understands you. Allah understands you. Allah understands every language. Allah knows what you want before you even speak. Just make dua. Raise your hands, Ya Allah, in any language you want. Pour your heart out. Ya Allah, forgive my sins. Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, you know the troubles I have. Ya Allah, I need you. English, Urdu, Somali, Arabic, it does not matter. And sometimes we make it so difficult on ourselves. Not only should you make dua to Allah, but you should speak to Allah. Oh Allah, I named my daughter Maryam, she says. It's like someone saying today, oh Allah, I named my son Abdullah because I want him to worship you. Oh Allah, I named my son Muhammad because I love my prophet and I want him to be like him. Oh Allah, today I got the job that I wanted and I wanted to thank you and praise you. Oh Allah, thank you for allowing me to go to the masjid today. Oh Allah, today my family are all safe and healthy. I praise you and I thank you. This is what we need. This is what it means to have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important relationship you will ever have. Rabbi inni wada'tuha untha. She says, oh Allah, I gave birth to a woman. She has no idea at that time that she gave birth to the single greatest woman. Allah says about Maryam, Ya Maryam, uqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'ar raki'in. Allah mentions about Maryam, how special she is. Wadhkur fil kitabi Maryam. You know, Allah named the whole surah after her and tells her story over and over again. Allah calls her Siddiqah, wa ummuhu Siddiqah. Maryam was a Siddiqah. Just like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, she was someone who reached the highest point of faith and iman. That day, she gave birth to Maryam. Now, what is her concern? That she wants to devote this child to Baytul Maqdis, to Al-Aqsa, but the only people that would be devoted used to be boys. Now she gave the birth to a girl. She doesn't know what to do. والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس ذكرك الأنثى وإني سميتها مريم. Then she makes a دعاء. وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you to protect her from the shaitan, not just her, but her children as well. Who will be the children of Maryam? Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So you have now the grandmother of Isa making dua for Isa before, right after the birth of Maryam. Look at the vision the prophets had. they wouldn't only make dua for themselves or their children, they would make dua for their grandchildren and generations to come. Generations to come. Look at Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. A moment where Prophet Ibrahim, Allah gave him one of the greatest gifts. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ When Allah says to Ibrahim, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا After Ibrahim did so many great acts of worship, so many acts of devotion, after Ibrahim passed all the tests, Allah said, O Ibrahim, I reward you by making you for all of mankind a leader. Isn't that a great occasion? Allah said to Ibrahim, I'm making you a leader and a role model to all of mankind. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا The first reaction would be, Alhamdulillah, immediately what does Ibrahim say? قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي Ya Allah, what about my offspring and my children? What about my offspring and my children? Because they wanted to pass down blessings and guidance. So not only should you be in the habit of making dua for yourself and your children, but their children and their children as well. She said, وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ The Prophet ﷺ told us a fascinating thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, when every child is born, the shaitan pokes them. That's why they cry. A shaitan pokes them, every child when they are born, except for two. Which two are they? Maryam and Prophet Isa. And then Abu Hurairah narrates the hadith that Maryam and Prophet Isa, the shaitan did not come near them when they were born. Because Allah accepted the dua of the mother of Maryam, Hannah. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Then Abu Hurairah said, if you want, read the ayah. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Allah says, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ Allah accepted it from her. Allah accepted her dua, initial dua of wanting a child. Allah accepted from her promise to dedicate her child and whatever in his womb to the service and the worship of Allah. Allah accepted from her to protect Maryam and Isa from the shaitan. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا Now Zakariya is mentioned in the story. So what happened? Maryam's mother, Hannah, has dedicated Maryam to Baytul Maqdis. And that's where she was. From a young age, that's where she was. And one of the things was, she was so special, and her father was so special, and her father and mother were known to be devout people. And again, here you learn another lesson, which is the importance of being someone that is known for worship in the community and goodness and righteousness. Because this brings about more barakah to your life, that you are a family. Like, you do it for the sake of Allah, but it's very important that as families, that you are never known for evil and you are known for khair and good. As a family, this family gives a lot of charity. This family is known to be connected to the masjid. This family is known to be trustworthy. Maryam is born and that promise still stands. And she is in the, devoted to ibadah and to Baytul Maqdis. Now, what's important also to appreciate, my brothers and sisters, is the whole story is about worship, being devout, and being in service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What makes Hannah happy is to have a child that is dedicated to the worship of Allah. Not a child that is rich, not a child that's prosperous, but one that is dedicated to the worship of Allah. That is more important than anything else. If Allah gives you children and blesses you with them, there is nothing better than instilling in them the love of Allah and La ilaha illallah. And that you are part of continuing on the legacy of those that say La ilaha illallah. There's nothing better than that. Wallahi, for your child to be one that knows Allah, loves Allah, worships Allah, is greater and better than if they amass millions of wealth, but they don't know that. And one of the reasons why we should have children is that. Why was Prophet Zechariah, and we'll get to him in a second, why was he so desperate to have a child? In Surah Maryam, Allah mentions the story of Zechariah first. And Allah mentions that Zechariah, he asks Allah for a child. Who inspires him? Maryam. And we'll get to that. But the wording he uses is very, very fascinating. He said, I want a child because yarithuni. Yarithuni wa yarithu min ali Yaqub. Waj'alhu rabbi radiyya. Oh Allah, I want a child that inherits me. When you hear the word inherit, what comes to your mind? Land, property, money, right? But prophets do not leave inheritance. The Prophet Muhammad told us that we, the prophets, inna ma'ashra anbiya la nurath. We are not inherited from. Prophets did not leave wealth for the next generation. That's not, they were not allowed to do that. Inna ma'ashra anbiya la nurath. So now that we know prophets do not leave inheritance, what is Prophet Zechariah talking about when he says, I want a child that inherits me? He's talking about the legacy of worship, the legacy of prophethood, the legacy of being people that spread La ilaha illallah. That's what he was concerned about. That he wanted someone that is from him, that continues on. And that should be all of our motivation. May Allah make us and our children, their grandchildren and generations to come, people that live by La ilaha illallah and call to La ilaha illallah. Say Ameen. So now, Maryam ended up under the care of Zechariah. Why and how? They drew lots. And the way they did that was, they all took wooden pen or pencils, and it would be thrown on the sea, and whichever one floats would be the one that was going to take care and be in charge of the taking care of Maryam. And it ended up being Zechariah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكَفَلَهَا Zechariah. Now what happened? Maryam at an early age is someone that is connected to Allah. She learned from her mother. And I want to say something here for our sister specifically. Look at this family. Imran is married to Hannah. Allah is putting the focus on Hannah and her dua and her conversation and her plan. Allah gives her a daughter, Maryam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Prophet Isa would be raised by a single mother. And that single mother was Maryam. Of course, there's a miracle here to be born without a father. But Prophet Isa was surrounded by a woman. He was surrounded by a woman. And similarly, you'll find Prophet Musa in his young age also surrounded by role models that were women. In the Quran, when you read the story of Musa, you have Ummi Musa. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, this is again very fascinating. Allah talks about the mother of Musa, Musa as a child. وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَرْضِعِيهِ. Allah talks about the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Fascinating coincidence. Musa's father is also called Imran. Musa's father is also called Imran. That's why it's called Musa ibn Imran. And what's Allah call, what's Maryam's name? Maryam, the daughter of Imran. It's not the same person. It's not the same person because there were many generations between them. And the name Imran was a name that was used a lot. Now, you have Musa's mother. And then you have Musa's sister. وَقَالَ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّيهِ. Right? Allah mentions Musa's sister. And then when he is raised in the palace of Fir'aun, who grabs the baby Musa and wants to raise him? Asiya. And who else is in the house of Asiya? The Mashita, the hairdresser of Fir'aun. The Mashita and Asiya and his sister and Allah musta'an and his mother. He's surrounded by righteous women. Isa surrounded by righteous women because my sisters, as mothers and as sisters and as aunties, you have a great impact on the people that you raise and the children in your home. More so sometimes than the fathers. And that's why it's extremely important that that responsibility is one that you instill in yourself, because you can have a huge impact on your children. Of course, Maryam is now dedicated to be in service, in worship, in Baytul Maqdis, right? She doesn't leave, she's there. And Zakaria is in charge of her, the Prophet Zakaria. Zakaria enters upon her and he finds a miracle. And that miracle is that Maryam, she would have fruits with her that were not in season. It's summer and these only grew in the winter. How do you have them? Or it's winter and these fruits you have and this food you have only grows in the summer. How is that possible? Zakaria is surprised by this. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. Every time Zakaria would enter upon Maryam and see her, she would have things she shouldn't have. And he asks a question. أنا لك هذا. Where did you get this from? What did she say? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whoever he wants and provides whatever he wants without hisab, without account. So now you see Maryam, already the fact that she's special, the fact that Allah is giving her things, the fact that she's exhibiting these types of miracles and these karamat, it inspires Zakaria. Zakaria is inspired by Maryam's statement, by Maryam's dua. He's also inspired by her generally. And he sees a righteous young girl and he wishes he could have a righteous. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. Here, Zakaria makes dua. Zakaria, right there and then, immediately, he made dua. Again, you see people whose instinct and reaction is speak to Allah. And then he makes dua. Oh Allah. In Surah Maryam, you have it in more detail. Where Allah, he says, oh Allah, وَإِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظَّمَ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ رَأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبُّ شَقِيًّا. Oh Allah, I've grown old, my hair has grown gray. I have grown old, and my hair has gone gray. Is that a dua or a statement of fact? It's a statement of fact. What do you see there? The way they speak to Allah. The way they speak to Allah. Oh Allah. It's like you, for example, say, Ya Allah, I am tired. Ya Allah, this job that I go to, they make it difficult for me to pray. Ya Allah, I wish I had a better job. The way you speak to Allah, that's just an example. If someone's struggling, for example, at work, or someone that's... We have to appreciate that we have Rabbul Alameen, who is the creator of everyone and everything, who knows you better than yourself, who knows your thoughts, your secrets, your problems, your needs, that you can regularly speak to. And that's what Zakaria did. And he mentioned his reasons. I want a child. And then Allah speaks to Zakaria. Zakaria, inna nubashiruk bighulamin ismuhu Yahya. Oh Zakaria, we give you the glad tidings. And in Surah Al-Imran, it was the angels that came to him to give him the glad tidings that his wife will become pregnant and that he will have a child. And the child's name is not up to you, O Zakaria. The child has already been given a name, and that name is Yahya. Now, it's a very fascinating name, Yahya. Yahya means to live. Yahya means to live. And it is said that Zakaria's wife would have many miscarriages. And every time, Yamut, Yamut, Yamut. But this one, Yahya. He will live. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ سَمِيَّا. No one before him was ever called Yahya. The word Sami means one of you have the same name as. So someone called Mustafa, another person is called Mustafa, that person would be your Sami, right? لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ سَمِيَّا. So now, Zakaria believes he's going to give a child because Allah told him so. But he is confused of how. Because he is old and his wife is old. Not only is she old, she's aqir, right? She's not able to have children. And then he is told, Allah كذلك الله يفعل ما يشاء. That will happen, and Allah does whatever He wants. And here it is a reminder for you and me that when you are speaking to Allah, and when you are making dua to Allah, you are making dua to the one who can make anything happen. And sometimes we forget that. And why is that important, my brothers and sisters? Because that way there is no such thing as this is not possible for Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And when the way you speak, if I'll give you guys an example, because to be honest, the story of this chosen family, the story of Ali Imran, the story of Zakaria and Yahya, the story of Maryam and her mother and Isa, a lot of it is revolves around dua and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you need something to be done and you're speaking, let's say you want, you're going to the local mayor's office, and there is something that if the mayor agrees, it will definitely happen. It will definitely happen, right? But then you go in and you're speaking to the deputy, or even before that, you're speaking to his secretary, and the secretary tells you, listen, don't worry, this is done. This is done, it's going to happen. I'll let him know. He already gave us the go-ahead. Don't worry about it. There may be a part of you that's a little bit worried about it, because, you know, I need to hear it from right? Because I'm not sure. Are you guys with me? But if the person that can make the thing that you need happen, 100%, there's no one else. This is the person that if they say, okay, it's definitely going to happen, would you feel a lot more content if they give you the go-ahead? Well, let me give you another example. You want to propose to a sister. You want to marry a sister. Not your sister, a sister, a woman. You want to marry a woman. Is that what you heard? La ilaha illallah. All the women in the world are our sisters in Islam. Does that make sense now? Good. So if her cousin tells you, don't worry, it's done, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to sort it out. Is it the same as when the dad tells you, khalas, I'm going to give you my daughter? Is it the same? It's not the same, right? When are you the most confident? When who gives you the permission? Why does that carry more weight than a sibling or someone else? Because who in the end of the day gives her away? Who has the ability to give the nikah, do the nikah? The father, right? And all of a sudden, when you're in front of the dad and he's giving you, you feel there is confidence in you. Are you guys understand what I'm saying? Allah is teaching us in this qissa that when you're making dua to Allah, you are speaking to the one that can make the impossible happen. So make dua and speak with confidence. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Don't hesitate. Don't think it may not happen. Don't have that. You're speaking to Sami'. Allah telling you, I am Sami'. I am Alim. I am in ala kulli shayin qadir. I can literally do anything. And there you had when Zakaria was inspired by Maryam to make dua at very old age and the state of his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him what he wanted. And Allah reminds him, Allah yaf'alu ma yasha. Allah does whatever he wants, and there is no such thing as something that Allah cannot do. So that job that you really want, Allah can make it happen. The child that you really want, Allah can give it to you. That hajj that you've been hoping for, that you wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it happen for you, because Allah can make everything happen. You need to make dua, and when you're asking Allah, you need to be filled with confidence that the one you're asking is not only hearing you, not only near and close, but he's also capable. Is that clear, my brothers and sisters? That's one of the major lessons that you learn from this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them Yahya. Something similar happens to Maryam. And you have, subhanAllah, in this story, you have a lot of children being born. Maryam is born. Yahya is born. Isa is born. Of course, different timings, but it's all in this qissa. You see the forming of Ala Imran. You see the forming of families, all devoted. What do they have in common? What makes them special? Why are we learning about them? Because of La ilaha illallah. They lived by, call towards La ilaha illallah. That's it. That's it. That's what it's all about. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, our life is all about Allah. Our existence is all about Allah. The people that are celebrated the most are the ones who loved Allah the most, worshipped Allah the most, obeyed Allah the most. And this is important that we instill this in our hearts and instill this in our children. Allah mentioned in Surah Maryam, Maryam grows up and she is someone that Allah chose. وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. O Maryam, Allah has preferred you over the woman of the world. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you more than all of the other world, women in the world. That's why Maryam is considered to be the most beloved and the greatest woman of all women. And you have others as well, of course. There is a hadith that mentions some of the greatest women that ever were. And it's Maryam bint Imran. It's Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Fir'aun. It's the Prophet's wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the Prophet's other wife, Aisha, the Prophet's daughter, Fatima. These women are considered to be the role models of most of mankind. Meaning, they should be role models for both men and women. So as Muslim men, when you see the story of Maryam, it should inspire you. How devoted she is, how pious she was. And her piety and devotion was so much that when she is pregnant with Isa and she gives birth and she brings this baby that has no father and people are addressing her and they are doubting where this child came from, they said to her, Ya Ukhta Harun. Ya Ukhta Harun. Oh, the sister of who? Harun. It doesn't mean that she was the literal sister of Prophet Harun, although their dad has the same name. That can be an easy confusion someone could make, by the way. What it meant was, oh, the one whose worship was like Harun. Because in Banu Israel, the Banu Israel, when someone is really devoted in ibadah and worship, they used to call that person, you're just like Harun. Because Prophet Harun was known for that, right? So Prophet Harun was so famous and known for his dedication for ibadah that he ended up being almost like an example when someone is, oh, you're almost like Prophet Harun. Ya Ukht Harun. Oh, the one who was like Harun. And look what they say to her. I'm jumping ahead to give you an image of how Maryam was perceived in society, not her, but also her family. When Maryam comes with baby Isa, and people are saying, where did you get this child from? Look what they say to her. مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ مْرَأَ سَوْءٍ مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ مْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةٍ. They are referencing Hannah and Imran. مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ. Your father Imran was not a bad person. Neither was your mother a lady of the night. They were good people, righteous people. So the righteousness of her parents were known. مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ. Of course, what they don't know and they should know is that Maryam is even more righteous. That Maryam, she ended up becoming even greater than both of her parents. Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to her, we have preferred you over all women. Ala nisa al-amal. Ya Maryam, oh Maryam, Allah says, uqnuti li rabbiki, devote yourself to your Lord. Wasjudi, make sujood. Warka'i, and pray with those who pray. Ma'al raki'een. Maryam is someone who was an example when it came to ibadah, when it came to being devout, when it came to being chaste. وَمَرْيَمَ بِعِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرَجَهَا فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. Wallahi, the way Allah speaks about this woman, Maryam, is so special, my brothers and sisters. Now, what happened? One day, Maryam is visited by Angel Jibril because Allah decided to create Prophet Isa in a miraculous way where he will be born without a father. Remember, Allah can do anything he wants. So one day, Allah sends Angel Jibril to Maryam She sees him and she is worried and concerned about this man that's approaching her. And she seeks refuge in she refuges from him. بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. If you're fearful, leave me alone. She thought that this was a person that was going to harm her. And then he tells her, no, I have been sent by Allah لِأَهَبِ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. Right? To gift you a pure child. Who's that pure child? Isa. May Allah make all of our children pure. And make all of us pure as well. Allah decreed for her to get pregnant. And she got pregnant right there and then. A reminder that the one who created us can do everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make Isa a hujjah. And she becomes pregnant in this very miraculous way. But she is concerned now. And this is something very fascinating that happens to her. Why is she concerned? She is concerned, although she knows she has done nothing wrong. What is the assumption people will have? That she made zina. And then, one of the things that she says is something that is really powerful, my brothers. She says, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya. Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. She was so worried and concerned over her reputation and what people would say about her and how she would explain this. And she said, I wish mittu qabla hadha, that I died before this. Wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya, and I have become something that is forgotten. Now, again, she is expressing how she feels, which is perfectly fine. From this we learn that sometimes it is possible that you find yourself in such situation where you wish, like, so have you, people say this, to be honest, we say this sometimes too lightly. I mean, I wish I was never born. Have you seen people, have you heard this statement before? I wish, well, to be honest, if you're saying that, you better be saying that because you're going through something very, very big. But even then, don't ever wish for that, because Allah has given you life, given you faith, given you iman. But she was so concerned over the reputational damage. Should we be concerned about our reputations? What do you guys think? Yes, we should. We should be concerned about reputations. And we should do our best to protect our reputation within society, because people are not very forgiving. People are not very forgiving. And you will not only bring a stain to yourself, but a stain to your family as well, because people look at us as units. It's important that the biggest priority you have is how Allah views you, but that does not mean that you don't care how others view you as well. And sometimes, I'll give you an example. One day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after doing i'tikaf, he was visited by his wife and our mother Safiya. And Safiya, he was walking her back to her house. It's the Prophet walking with his wife. There were two men from the Sahaba, from the Ansar, that see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this woman, and it's dark, it's at night. And then they walk really fast, as if they're trying to kind of avoid the situation. And the Prophet calls them. And the Prophet said, come here. Come, he calls them and he says, this is Safiya. This is who? Safiya. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, we would never be concerned with you. The Prophet says to them, the devil, the shaitan, goes through our veins. Majra al-dam, meaning that we are easily influenced by the shaitan. And we easily assume things. So then he said, to ensure that you guys don't assume, just so you know, the person I'm walking with is who? Safiya. So now the ulama say a lot of times, min bab innaha Safiya. Sometimes you're in a situation where you want to clarify something, right? And what are we trying to ensure? That people do not think of us or assume of us something that is bad. If you can get ahead of something, you should. Am I making sense here? Barakallahu feek. But the opposite is also true. Don't assume things. Don't assume things. Right? One of the Salaf said, If you hear someone say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. What does that mean? I am your Lord, the most great, right? Assume he's reading Surah An-Nazi'at. Why? Meaning, assume the best, even in the worst situation. Does that make sense? Oh, that person was with someone, it's probably his sister. We should be as charitable as possible when it comes to our assumptions so that we don't assume worst of people. We should also do the best we can to ensure people don't assume the worst of us. What Maryam is experiencing is that, where she is thinking, when I come with a baby to my community, they're not going to believe me that that an angel came to me and blew its ruh into me and all that. They're not going to believe that. So she's concerned about that. Are you guys with me? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her. She brings the child. And then what was she told? She was told, فَكُولِ وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّ عَيْنَا. Eat and drink and do not worry. And if the people ask you, say to them, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ, subhanAllah, I made a vow. Just like her mother once made a vow, she made a vow, صومه, that I will make صوم. She comes with Prophet Isa as a child. She gives birth to Prophet Isa. And when she comes to Prophet Isa, she comes back to her people. And when she comes back to her people, they want an explanation. Where did this child come from? But she made a vow of silence. Inni nadharatu lirrahmani sawm, a vow of abstinence. Abstaining from what? From speaking. Sawm, and this is a benefit, sawm means to abstain. Sawm means to abstain. Why do we call when we abstain Ramadan? What do we abstain from Ramadan? From food and drink and relations, right? So that's why it's called sawm, right? So Allah, when you're reading the ayah, don't assume that she was fasting. Because that's an easy assumption someone can make, right? When she says, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا, right? It means that she was being silent. Then what can she do? فَأَشْرَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed to Prophet Isa. And then Allah made Prophet Isa speak. And he said words that are extremely powerful. He started by saying, إِنِّي عَبَدُ اللَّهِ. إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي. الله أكبر. وبرا بوالدتي. May Allah make us bar and dutiful to our parents. He says, I am the servant of Allah. How important is that? First words, inni what? Abdullah. How unfortunate is it that there are so many people that see him as the one to be worshipped when he proclaimed and the first thing he said was that he is a worshipper of Allah. How unfortunate is that? Inni Abdullah. Atani al-kitab. He will give me the book and he was given the Injil. Waja'alni nabiyyan, and he's made me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكَ, and Allah has blessed me. This is a very fascinating thing. Allah has blessed me. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكَ. Prophet Isa was blessed. Now, for something to be blessed, in Islam we believe that blessings, there are times that are blessed. Who can tell me a time that is blessed? A time that is blessed. Ramadan is a time that is blessed. Very good. Ramadan is blessed. The mornings are blessed. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has put blessings in the mornings of my ummah. So the morning is a better time than what? Than the afternoon, because there is more barakah. Who can tell me a place that is blessed? Mecca, Medina, Al-Aqsa. What does Allah say about Al-Aqsa? Allati barakna hawlahu. We have blessed its surroundings. So you have places that are blessed. And you have times that are blessed. And you also have people that are blessed. Right now, what does Allah say about Isa? وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكَ. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everything for us. Say ameen. أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة. Again, prayer and charity is mentioned there as well, showing you the importance of these two as long as I'm alive. And then he mentioned that he is dutiful to his mother. To his mother. Why not his father? Why is he not dutiful to his father? Because he doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a father. Interesting question. Is Prophet Isa from Banu Israel? How? He doesn't have a lineage that goes to Bani Israel. So how is he from Bani Israel? From his mother's side. Yes, from his mother's side. So you can be attributed to your mother's family, although the main attribution is to your father's family. You can be attributed to your mother's family as well. طيب, إخواني في الله, there's a lot that can be said about these people, the family of Imran. Let me just quickly kind of gloss over or summarize the main point that I wanted to share tonight and the reflections that I had. Number one is Allah chose to name this whole surah Ali Imran of this family. Imran, Hannah, Maryam, and Isa. And what made them special? They were devout and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is a common theme in their life? Prayer and dua and communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else do you find? That a lot of their du'as would manifest itself in miracles and acceptance. And that we should be inspired. Another theme is that they keep inspiring each other. Hannah was inspired by a bird to make dua. Allah gives her a child. That child inspires Zakaria to make dua. Allah gives him Yahya. So if you don't take anything else away from the story, take the following away. Be inspired to make dua to Allah for all of your needs. Not just to make dua, but also to converse and communicate. Another thing, those among you that are parents, those among you that are parents, look at the priorities of this family. Look at the mother of Maryam when she had a child, immediately saying, "Inni nadartu lakka ma fi batni muharrara." Oh Allah, I vow that which in my womb will be devoted for you, will be in service of you. That we make similar devotions to Allah. We make similar commitments where we try our best to instill belief, iman, worship, good character, love of the deen in our children before we think about anything else. That we appreciate that both men and women have this in common. This, the responsibility of worship and obedience and adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah is something both men and women are equally responsible for. And this is why when it comes to the worship of Allah, there's no such thing as man and woman. We are both expected. Yes, we have certain different responsibilities, but fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, men and women, we all have that one thing in common. We all need to pray. We all need to worship. We all need to fast. We all need to make hajj. We all need to make umrah. We all need to learn the deen. When it comes to the deen, we have all of that in common. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَّرٍ وَأُنْثَى Whoever does good, whether male or female, right? While a believer, Allah says He will give them a good life. So when it comes to following the prophets, when it comes to becoming role models, we have that in common. For those among us that are mothers, particularly to the mothers, you have a great duty to your children, because mothers have an impact on children that sometimes fathers don't, and fathers have an impact that mothers don't. Take inspiration from the mother of Maryam. Take inspiration from Maryam as the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And take inspiration from the great mothers in our deen. And many of you are doing great. Start with the intention. Start with the intention. Just like the intention of the mother of Maryam. And inshallah ta'ala, follow that up with action and make lots of dua for your children. وَإِنِّي أُعِيدُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ May Allah protect our children from the shaitan. The Prophet would say to his grandsons, he made lots of dua for them, and he used to say, I seek Allah's protection and refuge for you to not be affected and impacted by the shaitan. He would often make dua, أُعِيدُكُمَا, right? He said, I seek refuge for the both of you, Hassan and Hussein. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the importance of making dua for your children. We see the mother of Maryam making dua for Maryam. And also we learn that their lives was not completely easy. Yahya ends up being killed. Zakariyyah, according to some narrations, was being killed. So they were not only people that were devout, but they also sacrificed. And there should be an element of sacrifice that we have for our deen as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that follow and benefit from these people. Allah chose to tell us their story, not just so we can talk about it, but we can find inspiration in it, that we can be those that follow them. And I'm going to conclude this point, which for me was the main point of this lecture. For me, this following point was the main point of this lecture. Allah teaches us how the mother of Maryam, Hannah, would communicate with him regularly and speak to him openly. Let that be the relationship you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you speak to Allah and you talk to Allah and you truly believe that He hears you, He sees you, and He's able to do all things. هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Conclude there, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.